to call the meeting to order. You've all received the minutes from the March 28th. Any comments or motion to approve?
Second. Already.
Okay. Let's see. Any non-agenda items for anyone? Nope. Strategic plan discussing an outline, scheduling, and process. Erin, you're up.
Morning. Thanks, everyone, for coming today. So today is really, normally we do a lot of talking and presenting, and so today I wanted to kick off the strategic plan discussion by doing a little more listening from you about just reflecting on the last strategic plan and thinking about what this one is going to look like. And so what I did to just help structure our discussion was to do an outline, which is really just an outline of most of the elements that were in the last strategic plan. I reordered them a little bit in a way that I think makes a little more sense for the strategic plan. And I just talked about each of the elements and what was in them and proposed content for this one. But what I thought maybe we should do is go through maybe each category and get any feedback that you have. And that way I'll take your feedback and we will then, over the next month, be populating the plan with all the details, and then at our next meeting, we can review a draft. It's basically my plan. Any questions so far? So the first section of the plan, you'll recall last time we talked about the guidelines, and what the guidelines do is structure the content of the strategic plan, and it structures the decision-making that the plan makes, and what we did in 2014, remember, is we outlined what the appropriate uses of Measure Q were, and these are the same five uses that we had last time, just worded and structured a little bit differently, just given where we are. And I used A, B, C, D, and E on purpose because one may not be more important than the other. It just is an order of priority. So with, last time we talked about fully funding operations, to fund prudent reserve, to complete the construction projects that were already underway. Last time it was still the initial operating section, and now here we are working on Larkspur Windsor and several pathway segments that we've received grant money for. We talked about leveraging any remaining funds for remaining project elements and for additional expenditure plan elements as defined. And there will be a separate expenditure plan created, and Farhad, I don't know if you want to talk at all about that. Expenditure plan is, it may or may not be part of this plan, but it's going to outline the kind of the general categories similar to this of what can be used, and it can identify things like goals, you know, which of course will be getting to Cloverdale and Healdsburg, but any other things that come up throughout this process. So any thoughts on that?
Excuse me, I have a conceptual question about this. You know, big picture, the strategic plan is going to run from 19 to 2024, and it's going to be approved by us and by Smart Board before the sales tax extension is on the ballot, considered results. Isn't it going to have to acknowledge that that's what's planned and speak to it, or wouldn't it have to be amended then after it's approved? I mean, in other words, I thought this is a document, even though it's prior to anything being on the ballot, that would have to talk about that. And that's and this doesn't do that. Is that
well, so, no. I think, and we can add that to a guideline if you want, down in the financial projection section. So the financial projections are going to include a discussion of the current spending and revenue, and that would go up to 2029. And then I added to that we would also model a sales tax extension and show what that would look like. So what we would do is take our current expenditures and our known additional expenditures, such as the known cost of going to Windsor, for example, what operating costs would need to be added, any known pathway expenditures, and model that as part of that sales tax extension, and maybe we do a 20-year and a 30-year and see what that looks like, and then show what would happen with a restructuring. So So I think we should make that part of the discussion of the strategic plan. And maybe in the uses of Measure Q, we mentioned that as well. So,
right. I just, not to get too complicated, but if, say that we do that and then the sales tax extension passes, the strategic plan would have to be updated by everybody after that to show real numbers and this is what we're doing. So in other words, not just as an alternative, but this is the plan. And but then secondly, doesn't that raise issues like where's the money going to be spent? If there were an extension, would it be not just for the initial phase, but would the 23 miles to Novato have to be part of that, I would think? That really complicates what we're doing here.
Right. So what we don't want to do is over-specify what's going to happen because it is so speculative. I think what the idea behind what will be in this plan as well as the expenditure plan are general categories of goals that are part of SMART. The thing we don't want to do is say with any money generated, we're going to do X, Y, and Z exactly. I think it's we'll identify categories rather than specific things. We all know that there are goals such as a second Petaluma station. Or, you know, we have goals that we already haven't yet reached that we'd want to for sure talk about that will be in there. I don't think we want to overpromise until you go and you're able to get the sales tax renewed and then confirm how much debt restructuring you can do because.
Good. Well, thank you. No, I appreciate that because that just as a just conceptual thing.
I see this a little bit differently. So here's some things. So we got to set the goals, and I think that you have to go two ways. That I think you have to assume that you have status quo without a current passage. And also you have to have one where you have the passage. And then what I need to get is from Bill, is Bill, what's reality about construction? Tell me, how far do I get to go, you know, in today's construction world? Do I get to go to Healdsburg? Do I really get to go to Cloverdale? What is realistic within the next 5 years? And then two is that I need then to go to Barhat's and Farah, what do we got out there as to the federal government? What do you think you're going to do in local matches? And I think that, you know, you have two different strategic plans, is that you have it as status quo, and one as we have a passage of the extension, and then two with potential some federal funding grants that are out there or potentially that we might be able to do to close in some of this gap. Financing needs. And so then there's, within the next 5 years, assuming both those factors, the timing of construction, what's reality, how long does it take us to get from, you know, the airport to Windsor to Healdsburg? Maybe that's it, especially when you have the bridge that you have to deal with getting over the Russian River, that within the next 5 years, Cloverdale is not within the five-year plan. And it's not within there, and the reality is it's 10 years out or something. I think those real things that we didn't know before we started building the track and the realities of what's in front of us, we have to put those into our assumptions as we build this strategic plan.
Yes. Sorry. I think the other issue that we really need to deal with is the question of when does the next recession hit, and how hard does it hit? We've tried to smooth that out by simply assuming that given recessions and good times, we'll have an average increase of 3% per year. But having been through a recession that just really washed that away, we need to be realistic about in the next 10 years, will we have one? Will we have two? And how do we weather those? I really don't know how to do that, but and I'm not sure anybody knows how to do it. But I think we need to have that somewhere in our calculations. I mean, if we're in an administration that says, yeah, we've got a recession, we have to build shovel-ready projects in a hurry, that could turn out to be a windfall. If we're in an administration that says, we need to protect our resources, we're not going to spend any money, that gives us a whole different picture. But I think all those scenarios need to be somewhere in our minds.
Okay, so keep going. So then the other guidelines that we had pointed out were just to reiterate the importance of program reporting, the importance of financial audits, coordination with all of our jurisdictions as we have always done and will continue to do. The importance, as you mentioned, was planning for future phases. Dennis, you mentioned that. That's also in the last section. We have future phases. So these are just the overarching guidelines, and then the discussion comes later on. And then the one I did want to get some specific feedback from you on is the citizens over. The strategic plan is the place where the Citizens Oversight Committee was created and lives. It's not in Measure Q. It's nowhere else but here. And as we have over time become a federal grantee, we are learning that we need to put some parameters around all of our citizens' boards and have terms and have more defined process. So I don't know if you have any opinions about the future of the COC, what it should look like, whether the terms should be concurrent with the 5-year plans, and maybe they get appointed by the board every. But you guys have been great and have done yeoman's duty for a long time. What should it look like in the future? Do you have any thoughts right away, or you can think about it and you can let us know later?
None of those things were defined in original.
No, it just said there shall be a citizens oversight committee, and then at some point I wasn't here, but at some point there was. It was just brought to the board, the appointees, and it happened. And I'm sure there was an application process.
Right.
I wasn't here back then. It was a while ago.
There was that.
So I think we should structure that a little bit more in this document, say what the future COC looks like. We also got some feedback from our board about making sure the board is diverse and represents the community, so perhaps some language around that. Mm-hmm. My thinking is that we should say that they're 5-year terms, they're appointed by the board, reflects some general goals. And
I think that's logical.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I'll look at how some of the other boards are structured. And
One comes to mind is the open space district. And I would look at that one because that is a kind of a similar situation. But there are some folks on there who have been there for 20 plus. Right.
Not that that's a bad thing. I mean, the board can certainly reappoint people year after.
Yeah, just a little more regularity.
Right.
I think to bring more visibility to the committee and what it does and who's on it would be a good thing. So.
Almost any time there's a sales tax or a bond issue for something, I mean, hospital bonds or whatever, there's an oversight committee that helps, like they say they reference in Measure Q that there'll be a committee that looks at it. But, particularly if you're not going forward too much, but if there's a sales tax renewal, whatever this board has been for the entire time, that might be a time to think about different or new blood or, different parts of whatever. We're not overworked. I really enjoy this, but it might be a time to look at it and to see if there's something that we can make this more relevant or whatever, or more inclusive.
You might want to have it a little more specified in terms of frequency of meetings as well. And it seems like there should need to be an annual meeting and then some provision for more frequent meetings if needed, something where, there's a regular process of review. But I'm open to other suggestions about that.
Aaron, one of the things that I would suggest as bank be a public company, we are required to have on our board what is considered a financial expert. And that you know, it's, whether it's a CPA or someone of that ilk who runs the audit committee and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Having a designated financial expert on the COC would probably be a good idea for no other reason, just from the standpoint of, well, we have someone who is conversant in these, you know, strategic planning and things of that nature and budgeting and all those ideas.
Correct. I mean, because the COC, their main job is to go over the strategic plan, and it's such a big part of it is, you know, it's almost all financial, really, and what are financial questions that we need to address in the coming year. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
So I think one other thing is that attendance ought to be a factor. And when we find that somebody can't make it to meetings or doesn't, many of the boards that I've been on has said, if you miss three meetings in a row, that's the end of your tenure.
Quorum requirements that I see we have, I don't think
I think they could follow the Brown Act.
We're the Brown Act.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're under, created under
yeah.
that.
Okay.
Right. Finally, the other guideline that was there last time is it just talks about amendments and updates to the plan, so that might be where we address should the sales tax pass, whether it's the strategic plan that needs to be revisited. So we can address that in that section. So that's a good suggestion. The other sections that we had a discussion of operations, and I think this discussion would be last time it was a lot more broad and projection-like. This will be very specific. We now know what the costs are, and we can talk about that. We can also include in this, we have to simultaneously be working on a short-range transit plan, which those of you who are involved in other transit districts know that that's a specific document required by the federal government that talks about service planning and ridership and things like that. So some of what we'll put in here will mirror what will end up in our short-range transit plan. So there'll be a lot of reports actually coming out of SMART with a lot of information. So that section, I think, will be a lot more specific than the last time. Capital progress update will be all Bill just reporting a lot of what you guys have heard over the years here, but in a more reader-friendly, condensed fashion. And then the financial projection will be the models that you all know and love. this is where, like I said, I think what we'll do is we'll model. This is what we see that we know to be true right now, today, and then we can model some scenarios, one of which would be sales tax extension, whether there's room for more debt if you do that, whether there's not room, right? Whether we also, as part of this exercise, are going to be layering in. We know now that we have several million dollars each year almost that we have to invest in our rail cars and our BMUs. They're our FRA requirements and requirements to keep it in good repair that require a certain number of brake replacements every X number of years, right? So we're starting to model out all those capital investments to keep everything in good repair. We'll probably model an ongoing equipment replacement fund that's bigger than just replacing our non-revenue vehicle. You know, everybody tends to model out, well, here's how we're going to replace our cars, but what we want to start modeling is making sure that the engine midlife replacements that need to happen are in there. And so all of those things will be in the model. Is there anything that you guys are thinking that we need to address from your perspective that, because I go kind of in deep and wonky, but you, mm-hmm. you have kind of a bigger perspective on it.
And you would model similar costs related to the pathway, not the construction of the pathway, but the
so
maintenance, the security, all of that.
Correct, yeah. Right. Yeah, even little things like what is our, what do we expect our average, you know, fence repair tends to be kind of a big item for us. We're learning more and more. We have almost 2 years worth of data now, and we're just learning. You don't just pave a piece of asphalt and walk away. There are a lot of, you know, there's trash removal, there's weed maintenance. So having all of those modeled out, that's a good point. Thank you for mentioning that. For example, if the, I don't know about the bike lockers, if they have a useful life, we need to worry about that. I think those last pretty long.
Yeah, they'll last for a while. I mean, everything's got a useful life.
Right. Anything with the station, you know, so anything with the stations, we know, for example, that all the servers that make all the security cameras go needs to be replaced every X number of years, right? So all of that will be part of kind of an underlying capital replacement schedule that will be part.
And there's the updates for software, which can surprise us, and issues of people that are trying to hack into your software and defenses and so forth. That's an area that's really hard to predict.
We predict it'll be expensive.
Yeah,
in this digital world, everything is now relying on keeping up with everything that's new. Fortunately, we have some good people who can help us with that. Certainly not somebody in our shop will be better at that than
And then we're going to face the issue of when do we transition from diesel to the next higher, less polluting approach? And that's probably 10 years out, but it's within our planning horizon.
Everything sounds expensive, but yes, we can take a look at that and see if that's...
So what's the useful life of the trains, of the cars? And
should be 30 years, depending on the use and the wear and the tear. They're brand new, so we're still trying to learn that. They're still on the warranty.
In 30 years, we're a pretty substantial new life overall.
Correct. What we're finding is that, for example, the steel wheels need to be constantly maintained and replaced pretty frequently, and they're expensive. In order to go 79 miles an hour, they need to be in perfect repair. Otherwise, you get bad ride quality, right? So just the wheels alone are a high maintenance item, and then you've got the engines, the brakes,
Well, the wheels do that regardless of the source of power, right? Yes. So if you're going to go that speed, so it doesn't, that in that sense, you've got predictable ones and then unknown ones.
In the past, electric was very expensive because you'd have to retrofit the entire right-of-way. But I don't know if the future holds batteries and electricity.
You get fiber optic?
Well, that's not...
Can we put power in there too?
I don't know. You're asking questions that are way above my pay grade. I just want to make sure there's nothing else in terms of modeling that, other than the extension and putting in the extensions that we know about, nothing else.
Ridership, first mile, last mile kind of considerations, is that part of what you'd be doing anyway?
Yeah, I think the ridership will be part of it because that'll drive fare revenue and it'll drive a lot of the considerations around revenue basically.
And what about property that smart owns? Will there be some kind of analysis? I'm not sure what properties the agency does own, to be honest here. I know you do have a parcel in Santa Rosa by the real the square area, but I'm not sure in parking facilities and so on. Is there any kind of effort to look at long-term usage of those properties or other properties that might be needed?
Yeah, we can take a look at that, and we can for sure update where we are with our properties. We do have a contract with a developer at Railroad Square. We're hoping he's successful at getting some needed housing built there. So that's a good suggestion to talk about our property and potential uses.
Some of them.
Correct, because we do own quite a bit property.
I think schedules are also an issue. when we start taking people from Novato to Larkspur, we're going to have some issues of the trains being full when they get to Novato. And how do you put more people on the train? Question, if you can run two sections of a schedule during peak times so that you have one train arriving 5 minutes ahead of the next. How do you give the people from Novato a really good experience in getting to the ferry? And I understand that we're already looking at the link between when it arrives to the ferry and how do people with disabilities and so forth get from there to the ferry. But eventually we get to the question of double tracking. And where do we do that and what are the costs?
But the only comment I would make is that's so far down the line, though. I mean, yeah, double tracking would be great, but there's a lot to be done before you even get to even think about that, right? And the problem, I think, the constant question I hear from people is, oh, the schedules aren't good. It's a half an hour between trains. I miss one. I have to wait for so long. And you know, I think that particularly as we look at the extension of the sales tax, there's so much misinformation out there, and people go, oh my God, I thought the sales tax was going to end. How come SMART isn't paying for itself now? Mm. Really? I mean, you know how much this, and it's, there's a big education process you have to make to get people to understand, oh, just put more trains, you know. They say, well, why don't you have trains like every 10 minutes? Well, when you have one track, I mean, all the things that you all have explained to us, but that's not common understanding out there. You say, well, if there was more trains, I would take the train, but it's not frequent enough. So I think that education is going to be a very important part of the whole process of just getting people to understand what it means to extend the sales tax and what trying to accomplish here. You read the, I don't know why I torture myself, but I read these articles, these letters to the editor in the IJ. They're just people have too much time in their hands, I think, is the problem. It's crazy. So anyway, getting a lot of information out there.
Same thing, that same scheduling. In the same question I've asked a couple of times, but in their modeling, can you let us know and let the public know, what is the maximum number of, what is the timing schedule that you can have based on the current fleet that you have in the existing rail system? How soon can the headways be between those peak times? How do we shorten that gap in San Rafael and back and forth in the early afternoon and evening and whatever? And can someone go take the train from Santa Rosa to Petaluma and have dinner and go back before it closes down? You know, those are the questions. Because Farad said, hey, look, you have to have maintenance, and maintenance has got to go from here to here. We have to have this time on the... All those things need to be brought out as to fact and reality, as to these are the factors that you have to figure out on headway, and these are our limitations, and this is the maximum that we could ever do. And if we had additional rail cars, then we could do this, or if we had to have additional track, you know, up to that limitation. If we knew those, and those can be definitive, then you can work from there.
I think the short-range transit plan would contain exactly that information, what we can, what our short-term goals are,
Not goals, but maximum system. So then
I think that will be a better place for some of that discussion, but that will certainly inform then the costs that will end up in the financial plan.
Sure. When can we expect that short-range transit plan to be done?
That will be done by the end of the year as well. So probably we'll lag this plan a little bit just because there's really only two of us that do all the writing involved in these plans. So that will be available by the end of the year. I think that's really it as far as what I wanted to achieve. I know that also Bill brought some new maps because I know the chair had asked if there was any update information on the bike paths. So it's not on the agenda, but since he's here and he brought them, I thought he could at least share them with you. Maybe you could just mention what's changed in the last.
Yeah, absolutely. Once everybody gets a copy, I'll walk you through. So this is a high-level map that we put together for our board workshop back in early April. One of our challenges on conveying information on the project or even the pathway is the long linear nature of everything. So we've had various pathway maps over the years. We attempted with this one to convey at a very high level what's been built, what's funded and what's coming up, and what's down the pipe in the future. So very simple. We've got all the stations on here. We've got the entire alignment from Larkspur to Cloverdale. The dark green is what's been constructed, approximately 18.2 miles. It includes both sections we've built and sections that our partners have built. For example, Caltrans is building some of the pathway in the Narrows. That was always conceived of as part of our environmental document, as part of the overall north-south pathway plan. The green dots are funded either under construction or upcoming. So this includes the recent $12.6 million that we got for the Sonoma Gap sections here in Petaluma and then also in southern Santa Rosa. And then purple would be future segments that have not been constructed, that need to be built and are not funded currently. So it's kind of a nice snapshot of the overview. In the past, I think we've shared with you the more detailed map. In fact, I think maybe we included it in the last plan to get last.
Yeah, we had a series.
And that one is a little denser, a little more detailed. It's got connecting pathways, and it's a little bit more of a user map than this is just kind of a status map. So take a look at it. If you have any questions, happy to answer them. It's on our website also. So as a matter of fact, in an hour in this room, we have to kick off with our contractor for the Peyrin pathway segment. That's from here in Petaluma, from Peyrin to South Point, 1.1 miles, includes a fairly long pedestrian bridge over the upper reaches of the Petaluma River, runs parallel to the track, nice connecting segment, kind of gets people under 101, so kind of an east-west connector in Petaluma.
We managed to hang on to a little bit of grant money, $900,000 that was left over on the east in the Cotati project when we did the section from the golf course to East Cotati, and which is not a simple task with Caltrans local assistance and the planning agencies. Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and leverage that also in Petaluma, do another section from Perrin down to Lakeville. Gets really close to the crosstown connector, the Lynch Creek Trail that Petaluma's been working on. So it's just building out that pathway network. So yeah, that's kicking off this morning.
Well, I'd just like to add a comment as a user of the bike paths, how much I appreciate the effort that SMART puts into maintaining the paths. And it's something I hadn't really thought of when the pathway idea first came forward, but it's just so important in terms of feeling safe and able to ride those paths. So I just want to thank you for doing that because it makes a big difference in terms of usability.
Good to hear. Appreciate the feedback. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's a great comment to make and to tote and also to continue on and as we are out there trying to raise funds and extensions, yeah. the continued safety of the path.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
This reminds me that we're looking at the Petaluma East Station. Do we have any forecast as to when things might move on that? Corona Road.
Farhad, do you have any
doubt? No. No, we're still in litigation.
Set a tentative date for our next meeting, that it turns out neither Letty nor I are going to be here that day. I will just be getting back from a trip, and I'm worried about making that meeting. So I was hoping we could find another such a challenge. I know that one was a challenge.
When was the next one scheduled?
I think we had scheduled it for July 23rd.
23rd, yep.
Okay. And I can do pretty much any day for the 2 weeks after that, but I don't know. Are you guys around?
I'm good for it.
I remember maybe Russ had some issues.
Yeah, I'm gone the week of the 28th of July through August. I won't be back in my office until Thursday the 8th.
Thursday when?
The 8th of August. That would not be a good day for me.
And I've got the 8th and 9th.
What is this, 13th? Looks like 13th or the, you like?
13th? Of August?
Yeah.
Thursdays actually work a lot better for me than Tuesdays.
So the 15th? Does that work?
Fine for me. August 15th?
So we may see a draft, say, on August 15th.
Oh, for sure.
It'll be the approval of it or
right.
The next thing.
Right. So if we could do another one relatively soon after that, so we can get this to the board in September, that would be great. So how about the first week of September? Are people around that week?
Mm-hmm. Not me. The first 2 weeks are in.
How about then even sooner, the last week of
29th of August?
Yep. 29th.
Works for me.
Yep.
Does that give you enough time?
Sure, 2 weeks.
We'll jump right on it.
24/7.
Oh, it's only about 60
pages. And then if we need another one, we'll take.
It works.
No, it'll be fine.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Anybody have any else?
That's the 20th.
Thank you.